totally unacceptable.
Well, gentlemen, I guess that just about wraps it up. Where is the Ark? I thought we'd settled that. The Ark is somewhere very safe.
From whom?
The Ark is a source of unspeakable power, and it has to be researched.
And it will be, I assure you, Dr. Brody. Dr. Jones, we have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
On a sultry night in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I'm somebody. I don't know who I am. It's this pyramid we sit underneath.
The roof is a pyramid.
It is. It sharpens razor blades.
But
it does
dulls our wits.
Sharpen. Exactly. Exactly.
At least that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Welcome. It is Monday, June the 22nd of 2009, and we are glad you're here with us.
You know what? I got to tell you, I'm glad we're all here with us.
Yes, because this was a weekend that supposedly the fictional, but it's not really fiction, but it's fiction, but it's not
this
really fiction.
This is not simply entertainment, is what the code said.
Yeah.
In the slideshow.
Project Blackjack is what we're talking about.
Operation Blackjack.
Yes. It had the conspiracy web really spinning wheels this past weekend.
There. Up to 200 plus pages in a given thread on a forum. I mean, it was just buzzing. And I'm sure that the Telegraph over in the UK got millions of hits.
Likely they did. This is, as we talked about, now if you missed the shows last week where we talked about it very briefly, it's a slideshow presentation which reads like a graphic novel of a terror attack on London, New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Portland, Oregon, and a few other cities
Mexico
around.
Mexico City.
Mexico City, which drives the country's...
Toronto.
And Toronto, right, which basically is the catalyst that forms the North American Union.
Mm-hmm.
They even go so far as to show a mock Amero coin on
they
one of the slides.
They call it an Amero.
And they call it an Amero. It shows real people in some of the slides. It showed Prime Minister Gordon Brown of the UK, shows Barack Obama.
And then...
But then the slide changed. And this is where the things got a little interesting, where the line between entertainment, or what they were calling entertainment, and reality began to blur. Because there were codes embedded in this slideshow in hexadecimal and Base64, which you can decode very easily at a number of websites that said, this is not just entertainment. Further updates will be at... jackblack12.info, and you go to this other website, and there were all of these enigmatic clues, photos, text
bar
embedded
codes.
In a black background, barcodes, and that was odd enough that this off-site component was happening, but then some of the slides at the Telegraph changed, which meant that somebody on staff at the Telegraph was complicit, was part of this deal.
And then someone on the forums, Above Top Secret and the David Icke forum, the same person posing as different, had different usernames, I think, the two sites, saying, I'm Justin Williams. I work at the Telegraph. I'm the one behind it. Ha ha, you idiots.
Right.
This is all a joke. And at that point, you're wondering, okay, you're saying, literally, one of the codes translated to, this is not simply entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways to take that phrase. This is not simply entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than entertainment. It's not entertainment. Take the word simply out. And legally, I think that could be debated exactly what that means. And I think that was his little fudge word.
Right. This Justin Williams is an assistant editor at the Telegraph, and he blogs at the Telegraph. And one of his blog posts from back in March dealt with this apocalyptic mindset of the many people in the West, the UK and the United States. And if you take that in context with Operation Blackjack and all of the stuff at the websites, my interpretation is that this was just a big psych job. Mm-hmm. They wanted to show how gullible, Christians, Bible-believing Christians who believe the end times are near, and others who are looking for some sort of meltdown of social order, how gullible those people are, that mm-hmm. they would take something that was clearly entertainment, except that they changed the rules. This was not much different, not much different from standing up in a crowded theater and yelling, "Fire!" Just kidding.
Yeah.
Which part of that sentence are you supposed to believe?
I don't know. Well, you know what? He said on the forums that he was going to write an article this morning over in the UK on the Telegraph mm-hmm. that was essentially all about how stupid we all are or even noticing it. But you know what? Most of the people, or I shouldn't say most, many people on the forum sort of had a feeling that it was
just a game.
There is a type of game called an alternate reality game, mm-hmm. ARG. That is like this. You find all these clues and you follow them, you know, with other people online. Well, honestly, that's a nice way to sharpen your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like any other game you play on a console, but bigger and with lots of, you know, people involved. This is not what that felt like. This felt like something that really could be.
Mm-hmm.
An in-your-face sort of, we're going to tell you what we're about to do to you and we're going to make you get suckered in, and if we do it, then we've told you, and if we don't do it, then maybe we've got a reason to call you guys really dangerous.
Yeah, because that's what the progressive left thinks about those who take these sort of end-of-the-world scenarios seriously,
mm-hmm.
Because they believe that Christians who are looking for the fulfillment of prophecy of the end times, they believe that, and this is what Justin Williams posted to his blog, and I wrote a post about it at my blog. The belief from many on the left is that we're not only looking for this fulfillment of Scripture, but we want it so badly because it will be the answer to all our problems. Hey, having problems making the mortgage? A nuclear blast will take care of that problem. No, that's absolutely not what Christians want.
Not in any way, shape, or form. In fact, we want the opposite.
We would, like Paul said, Paul wrote that he would gladly go to, you know, eternal damnation if it meant that all of his people, the Jews, could be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way the game works.
No.
And I suspect there are many out there who would feel the same way, that they would willingly give themselves up in place of their family, unsaved family members.
Well, the irony is that the motto, order ob chaos,
mm-hmm.
order out of chaos,
right,
is not our motto.
It's not our motto. No, it's the motto of the occultists.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
this notion of the phoenix bird rising from the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to have ashes for that phoenix bird to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Think about last August, 8-8, when the Chinese Olympics started.
Right.
And then they went for, 10 days or something like that. And then they had the closing ceremonies. Mm-hmm. Forgive me if I got the end date wrong. But their closing ceremonies, it was all about the phoenix. And the phoenix had been throughout mm-hmm. all of the ceremonies. There had been a phoenix torch relay throughout the world leading up to it. But this whole imagery of a burning tower and a phoenix and then, you know, moving over to London, it was very creepy. And yet guys like this gentleman over at the Telegraph,
mm-hmm.
they would look at our interpretation of that and say, oh, well, you're just panicking.
That's just art.
That's the way you want to see it, because that's what you want to happen. No, it is not what we want to happen. And that's why mm-hmm. you and I talk about this kind of stuff.
Right. So anyway, we're here, and no doubt if the Telegraph ever does respond to this, they'll just point to their disclaimer saying it was fictional, even though in the fictional storyline they had coded messages that said, no, this isn't fiction, mm-hmm. not entirely fiction. Like I said, it's like somebody who deliberately goes out of his way to sucker you into believing that he's got a bridge to sell you.
I'm not licking toes.
Yeah, that he's got a bridge to sell you over, you know, the Hudson River. And then laughs at you when you fall for it.
So we've already gone.
Yeah. We spent too much time on this. But well, thankfully, with the exception of the horrible train
Gilbert
wreck. That's right. With the exception of the horrible train wreck outside Washington, D.C. today, none of the projected nightmare scenario has come to pass. But
thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Speaking of things of prophetic significance, there's an interesting story that's coming from a source in Greece.
I want to thank Susan for sending this to us. We are on a list of amazing things that she sends out. Bless mm-hmm. her heart. The original site is from IGN. It's in Greece. In Greek. Trying to see the adnkronos.com. adnkronos.com. Something times, maybe. I don't know. Kronos is interesting.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It is Greek for time. The world we know will all change because the Ark of the Covenant is going to be revealed, is what this thing is about. There's a video here. It's the link that Susan sent to us had kindly been translated with Google. Soon the world will admire the Ark of the described in the Bible as the container of the tables. Remember, this has been translated with software, mm-hmm. which God gave to Moses. It's this Ethiopian patriarch of the Orthodox Church in Ethiopia who says he's going to reveal the mm-hmm. Ark this Friday.
Now, was it this Friday or was it this past Friday? I'm looking online here and I see somebody who thought it was this past Friday.
I saw the date and I thought the date said the 26th.
Okay, all right. And it's very yeah okay because clearly if this had taken place on the 19th, we would have heard about that. I think.
Well, you'd think so, but I was surprised that the mainstream media didn't pick up on the fact that the Telegraph was running something that just about every forum that looks at trying to decode things. Mm-hmm. Every apocalyptic nerdsman in the world, the
yes.
four horsemen of the nerdsmen of the apocalypse, your four characters would have been all over this thing. And Lord love them, they had a right to be. Mm-hmm. They would have a right to be because when someone does that kind of stuff, it's incumbent upon us to try to figure out, are you for real or not?
Yeah. Did you use that discernment stuff that is talked about in the mm-hmm. Bible, you know, worshiping the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul,
exactly.
and all of your mind.
And most of us smelled a rat. We thought that there wasn't something quite right about it, but you can't just turn away because had something happened today, what do you do? I mean, you and I talked about it. We went mm-hmm. out on a limb and talked about it. I posted things on my site. You did. We do our best.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we wind up doing nothing more than bringing attention to somebody who, bringing attention to events that don't come to pass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's okay. I'd rather be wrong, you know, 10 times than right once.
Yeah. And that's why we say don't take everything we say without checking.
Look, we've got a pyramid on our roof. What
yeah,
do we
that's
know?
That's right. So it's possible that this coming Friday, the Ark. Now, how can they prove that this would be the Ark of the
That's
Covenant?
That's just it. I mean, who can say? I mean, they could replicate every. You know, I'm sure that if you look at Jewish scholars that have handed down through the years, this is what we know it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I could probably draw it, but it would probably look like what I saw in Indiana Jones in the Temple. Yeah, I mean, and the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah,
but you know, that was kind of right, but. I don't know. And even if it were down to the everything, gopher wood, I mean, acacia wood and everything that was supposed to be made of, how do you know? Unless you look on the inside. And even if you look on the inside and you find what is supposed to be there, mm-hmm. the original tablets, those can be, look, Hollywood can make up whatever they want.
Sure. And you don't even need to have the actual thing there. You know, they can do such amazing things with just digital video. Just,
exactly. Exactly. Now. There are some, and I honestly sit on the fence on this. I don't know which way to go. There are some who believe in Revelation where it refers to the Ark of the Testament in heaven being inside the temple. That's the reason we can't find it anywhere is because God took it
mm-hmm.
and he's not returned it. Now, I always thought that the Ark that God had made here that he instructed Moses to make was based on his Ark of the Testament. It was a copy of God's Ark of the Testament. I don't know. I may be wrong on that, but regardless, we have no way of knowing if this is the Ark of the Covenant. However,
yeah.
The fact that it is being unveiled, and we've recently had a story, gosh, it was, again, we talk about memes that are out there trying to plant ideas and getting us to propagate ideas and get used to something that's about to happen. We had a story about Netanyahu rebuilding the temple a few weeks ago.
And that was a claim being made by a radical Islamic scholar and, and imam. But we do know that there are those out there. I mean, the cornerstone has already been cut. And there are rabbis out there who are constantly on the lookout for that perfect unblemished red heifer.
They're ready to go. They've figured out the DNA of the Cohen family, which were the priests. They have found the specific recipe that was lost, presumed lost for years, to make the purple dye that goes into the priest's garments. There are lots of things, and recently, I think it was about 5-10 years ago, that that recipe has within it, gosh, it's a shell from a sea creature, I think. There's an ingredient that comes from the sea that just recently, like within the last 5 or 10 years, that creature has been rediscovered or something. Forgive me, I read this a lot, probably 5 years ago, so it's been a while. And, of course, we've seen the red heifer stories over the last 5 years or so. So a lot of things are being prepared. I think that all of the vessels are made and ready. The priestly garments are made and ready.
And there's one fellow who has actually suggested a solution to the problem, the real sticking point to building the temple again on its original site, which is the fact that the Dome of the Rock, one of the most holy sites in all of Islam, happens to be on that spot right now. A fellow suggested a solution, which is to set up some very high def, set up high def lasers and create a three-dimensional hologram of the temple above the Dome of the Rock.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
And of course that could be done relatively quickly because you don't have to actually build something. But I've also seen people who believe that it's not over the Dome of the Rock, that it's actually elsewhere. And there are sites that, what is it, Temple Mount, that believes that. Forgive me, again, drawing out of memory, that pyramid, it's drooling. That anywhere, if it's not on the Dome of the Rock, that we don't have to get rid of that.
True.
Exactly. But whether or not it has to be rebuilt before the final 7 years of Daniel kick in, I don't know. I think a lot of that belief is based on the fact that we have the beast who comes in and says he puts a stop to the daily sacrifice. Well, you can't have the daily sacrifice the way it's supposed to be without the altar and without the temple.
And Jesus' reference to the abomination that causes desolation,
right?
Which was a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes setting up the statue to Zeus and sacrificing a pig.
You know, that could take place during the dedication of the temple.
Yeah. So there are a lot of pieces of the puzzle out there, and there are some out there. Remember Ron Wyeth, the kind of freelance archaeologist who claims that he believes the Ark of the Covenant is actually buried beneath the Temple Mount. Or Calvary.
And again, that's another opinion that is debated hotly on the internet.
Sure.
There are some who say Wyatt definitely discovered it. Others say no, he was a loon because he claimed he discovered all these other things too. Well, who knows? I wasn't there. I wasn't with him.
We'll find out someday, but probably not during this time-space continuum.
I love Wyatt's idea, the notion that it was directly beneath Calvary. And if that means that Jesus' blood, as the ground shook and the rocks slightly opened, that it went down and hit it. In fact, Wyatt's diaries and his claims were that he did find blood that had unusual properties. Again, don't know, wasn't there.
The one final story, if I could. I know we're running.
We're in Gilbert Minutes, and according to David, 1 Gilbert Minute is worth 1.67 non-Gilbert Minutes.
I see. That's how we can keep our shows to 15 minutes when they only look from the outside.
Exactly.
See, they're bigger on the inside.
We're on GMT, Gilbert Minute time.
Yeah. If you watched any of the cable news channels over the weekend, all you saw were stories about Iran. Protests in Iran, crackdown on the protesters in Iran, who's sponsoring... Well, actually, you didn't see any stories about who's sponsoring the protesters in Iran, which is really a key question, isn't it? Because it does sound to us, it appears to us that this green revolution, although they haven't called it that, I think they're very careful not to give it the same kind of title that they gave to the rose,
and
tulip,
the
orange,
yeah,
cedar, and the jeans revolution in Belarus.
The blue
which
jeans,
fell,
yes.
Yeah, which failed. But I think there's a key point. There's a writer for the Asia Times Online who goes by the name Spangler. His real name is David Goldman. He's the associate editor of the First Things magazine online. Very insightful writer and analyst. And he says, basically, America, this isn't about you. Okay? This isn't about you. And I just want to bring this up because it is, I think, an idea that should be in the marketplace of ideas. The election results in Iran, yeah, were probably jiggered by the mullahs and by the Ayatollah. Okay, Ahmadinejad probably, or at least it's very plausible, possible that he didn't win the popular vote. Why then did they pick Ahmadinejad again? Is it because they want to stick a thumb in the eye of the great Satan, the United States? Not necessarily. Iran has other problems, big problems, a couple of which are, number one, it's got a population that is declining faster than anywhere else in the Muslim world. That's a sign of a moribund population, one that is not going anywhere. That's a civilization that's on decline, mm-hmm. and they know it. Right next door, however, you've got Pakistan, which is a very young, energetic, and growing Muslim population. More importantly, it's a growing, predominantly Sunni
exactly.
population. Iran is a Shia nation. Now, there are about 220 million Shia in the world. There are 1.2 billion Sunnis, outnumbered 6-1. Iran is about 90% Shiite. The only other country in the world where the Shia are a majority, by the way, are Iraq, which makes this whole thing about, you know, letting the Iraqis vote for whoever they want kind of a dumb idea when you think about it. If your goal is to create a new state in the Middle East that's friendly to the United States. But that's another story for another day. So the Iranians have the Taliban operating on their borders in Pakistan and in Afghanistan. Who are the Taliban targeting in those nations? Well, from the news we get here in the United States, you think it's mostly American and British soldiers. No, the Taliban, according to Spangler, are predominantly targeting Shia victims. So you got Iran and the United States both apparently fighting the Taliban. Okay, that's bizarre. Who's funding the Taliban, the Sunni revolutionists, the Sunni jihadists? Could it be the Pakistani intelligence? Well, possibly. That's been something we've thought for quite some time. Could it also be the Saudis, the home of Wahhabist Islam, the home of the Muslim Brotherhood, the origin of the founding organization that spawned Hezbollah and, or not Hezbollah, Hezbollah Shia, I'm sorry, yeah. Hamas, Fatah.
You know more than most
Al-Qaeda. You know, so the takeaway from all of this, number one, is that this isn't about the United States. Iran has other issues to contend with here. Secondly, the Iranians are not in as strong a position as the American media would like to believe. Yeah, they may be on the verge of getting nuclear weapons, but they've got issues that they can't even deal with on their side. And here's the conclusion that Spangler draws from all of this, which I think is fascinating. This means to him, Spangler, that is, that this makes it very likely, more likely, that the Israelis will conduct a preemptive strike on the Iranian nuclear facilities because, in this case, their inability to deal with the Taliban, the Iranians have displayed the one fault that you cannot display in the Middle East ever, which is weakness. You show weakness, and the hounds are on you, the sharks are on you in a moment, as soon as they smell blood. I think that's an interesting analysis, and of course it has prophetic implications, because any war in that part of the world has to be considered in light of biblical prophecy.
Amen.
So
that's a
I'll put a link to that in the show notes
article,
because I didn't do it justice. Spangler is much more thoughtful and a much more gifted writer and thinker than I am.
No.
But yes, he is. I give credit where it's due there. But the situation there is so much more complex than ever get in the news.
It's very complex. And let's not forget who claims he didn't, but he did bow
yes.
to that king.
Yeah, the Sunni king.
Yes.
The Sunni king. Yeah. You can't be nice to both sides in that part of the world. You just can't. You can't. I mean, the Sunnis and the Shias hate each other only slightly less.
I thought he said he was the Sunni King. It sounded really nice. Hey, speaking of Sunny, don't forget that you've got a new talk show. It debuted on Sunday night. You don't want to miss it, folks. View from the Bunker with Jared Gilbert.
Well, it's sort of an adjunct to PID Radio. We enjoy doing the interviews, but we also don't want to stop doing what we're doing here. So
Sam wants his own show now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that opposable thumbs thing. He just can't work the mouse.
View from the back porch. That's what
View from the binky.
Yes.
The first show was with an interview with author Frank Creed, who is a fascinating guy, a very intelligent guy who's got an amazing life story. And you'll find the link at PIDradio.com. You probably got it if you subscribe to the RSS feed, because we cleverly inserted it into the PID Radio XML feed. But yeah, Frank is the author of what he calls Christian Cyberpunk, which is really interesting. Cyberpunk is sort of a story, science fiction story, that blends human integration with technology. Now, how you can do that and present a Christian worldview.
The only way you'll find out is to listen to the show.
Listen to the show and then get his book, which
yes.
is Flashpoint, yes. book one of a series. And it's this is not an accurate description, but it gives you an idea of where he's going. Think about The Matrix, but with a Christian perspective. That's kind of where Flashpoint goes.
I think that's a great idea.
Brilliant
now, next
stuff.
Sunday you've got...
Next Sunday we got Podcasting for Water with the Jesus Geek, John Wilkerson.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And we'll
you got lined up for the following Sunday.
Going to talk to the author of Shadow People, Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among
Jason
Us. Jason Offit.
We've talked with him before on PID.
Yep. So he's got a new book out about shadow people inspired by his own personal experiences with those critters.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, those are some of the things coming up, and there'll be more.
We're getting dangerously close to
running past our 1.67 ratio.
Exactly.
Our email is always open. If you've got a comment or a question or an article or a video to suggest to us, send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com. And when you visit the show notes at PIDradio.com, you'll see a link there to the Piercing the Darkness forum. Click it and join in the conversation.
That's right. Also, you can go to Facebook, Twitter. We're all over the place. We don't know how to not be there. It's just, look, it's that pyramid thing. What can I tell you?
Yes, we're virtual. We're totally virtual.
We're not real at all.
That's right. We're just artificial intelligences just beaming to you from somewhere in the ether. If that's true, then why do my feet hurt?
I don't know. I was thinking the very same thing.
Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
There's a new day coming.
On demand.
This is PID Radio.